everybody. Laura Ingraham here. And whether you are absolutely thrilled with my political point of view or you hate it, that doesn't matter. Because for my new weekly podcast, It Ain't Political. This is all about the culture, parenting, education, the madness in Hollywood, the few bright lights on the horizon, and what we can do maybe to turn it all around. I'm going to have fascinating guests from the entertainment, media, journalism worlds, from the stage, from the big screen, from the music industry and beyond. Great writers and thinkers, doers. People have actually done something, not just talkers. And we've had enough of those, right? Including this one. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing my all-new weekly Laura Ingraham podcast exclusively from PodcastOne.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. If you look at a stock market chart, you can clearly see it moving up in wave after wave, each coinciding with a new round of massive Federal Reserve money printing or quantitative easing. And yet, when the Fed refused recently to slow down the money printing, it did so because of weakness in the economy. So how does the stock market's 18 or 20% gains for a year square off with an economy that can barely eke out 2% growth? We'll talk with Ron Paul about the Fed, the economy, and the markets in a moment.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
The Fed decided not to taper, not to ease off on its money printing, and by its own logic, how can it? When it launched the latest round of quantitative easing, it was described, like the rounds before, as designed to keep interest rates down. Yet interest rates have more or less doubled since August of last year. So as you've said, Dr. Paul, it looks like the Fed has lost control of interest rates.
Well, probably not completely, but they are losing it. And if history proves itself, they will lose it. Sort of reminds me of the time when governments tried, and especially ours, to manipulate the price of gold at $35 an ounce, which wasn't a true price. And they did that, all through the 50s and the 60s, and many of the Austrian economists knew it wouldn't last, and lo and behold, it broke down dramatically. So when they claim they can do certain things, they can do it for a while, but then they lose control, which is good for us who believe in freedom, because that means the free market rules out in the end. The big danger is that how much harm can the officials do, whether they're monetary or political figures, because they're desperate to cling to the power and they cling to the ideas. They're not totally evil people. A lot of them are, you could question that, but mostly they believe in this philosophy of inflationism and deficit spending is good and borrowing doesn't hurt anything. And they don't want to be wrong, so they cling to it. You know, one of the best analogies that you can make on what the Fed is doing, and I've used it, and others have too, on comparing it to a drug addict. You know, a drug addict requires larger and larger doses of the drug in order to get the same type of relief that they're looking for. But the big problem there is if you continue to do it, the patient dies. If they back off, you get uncomfortable. And that's exactly what happens in monetary policy. The Fed, talks about backing off, and the markets don't like it. Interest rates start to move up, and then they change their mind because the economy really can't stand, the correction that is necessary. But if we continue to do what we're doing and what the Fed is doing, we can expect a great deal of trouble. There will be a time when instead of them ever being able to wean off this QE stuff, they probably will have to expand it. They've been expanding it, these last 5 years, a little here, a little there. and then special programs, and it doesn't look like they're going to cut off. But in real value, they can't produce the real value in the total marketplace. Maybe somebody's going to benefit, which is characteristic, those on Wall Street and those who understand and how to get the credit. But the average person is going to suffer. The cost of living always goes up much faster than the wages of the average person. And this is why we should expect a lot of resentment. And there's a mixed bag on this, because the resentment is toward those who are wealthy from the poor and the middle class who are getting wiped out. But everybody who is wealthy, they paint with the same brush and say, well, they're wealthy because, you know, they're on the take from government. And there's a big difference between those who know how to manipulate the system or are in the banking business, who get the free money or get the contracts from the government. And that's quite a bit different. But nevertheless, this is the reason that eventually you can expect civil strife, because of the anger. And there is a tremendous amount of discrepancy. And, of course, you know, there is this natural tendency to be envious anyway. But when it becomes so distorted, this causes so much resentment. And right now, the Fed's problem is they've been able to pull the economy out of a dip over many decades because things weren't so serious. But there was a mild correction, and they seem to spend money and print money. This one is quite a bit different. This is the big one. And it you know, they could, the reason why they're not achieving anything is they won't permit the correction that eventually is required. That is, you have to get rid of debt, and you have to get rid of the malinvestment, and you have to go back to serving the consumer, not labor and not big business. And we're not doing that. So it'll be a while before this thing all becomes, it's wrung out and we can start over again. But in the meantime, it's up for grabs on who wins the intellectual argument. And all I can say is we're better off now than we were 5 years ago, because a lot of people aren't saying what they used to say. Well, the Fed's great. They give us good times and they correct the problems when we have bad times. No longer, they don't have that credibility anymore, and that's healthy, because that offers us an opportunity to present the case for sound money and free markets.
Well, we've talked many times about the way central banking and fiat money transfer wealth from the poor to the rich, how the middle class is squeezed out of existence in the process. One of the recipients of the largesse on CNBC the other day described it in pretty clear terms. He was being critical of it, but he described it from his perspective as a very successful fund manager, a very successful capital manager. Stanley Druckenmiller of Duquesne Capital said, "This is fantastic for every rich person," he said, "of quantitative easing. This is the biggest redistribution of wealth from the middle class and the poor to the rich ever. Who owns assets? The rich, the billionaires. You think Warren Buffett hates this stuff? You think I hate this stuff? I had a very good day in the markets yesterday." So it's a frank confession of what we all know and what we've been saying.
And now, right now, they're literally putting a few of those rich guys together, and they're talking about owning trillions of dollars worth of assets. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, the day will come with when everybody suffers. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of rich people in Germany in the 1920s arguing the same case. We're getting wealthier. But when the political strife comes and the anger comes, then everybody is vulnerable and the whole thing breaks down. But then again, those individuals who are doing what they're doing now, they might be the ones that will be out of this country and owning a lot of gold and protecting themselves. So it is an unfair system. I think our goal ought to be always to blame the bad ideas on these problems rather than blame individuals who may have, you know, taken advantage of it. There are some who just are. You know, they know what's going on, and they're smart, and they know there's a lot of speculation out there, and they can anticipate markets. They didn't create the system, but they're going to be on receiving end of the hatred and the envy that so many people feel, because they don't understand how this has come about and why bad ideas give us bad results. And this is also the reason why I emphasize so much that to win our fight, it's an educational fight. It has a we have to change attitudes and change a philosophy about economics, and actually the role of government and personal liberty has to be understood. Or all this that we look at are just the symptoms of the bad ideas and what the role of government ought to be.
Dr. Paul, the Fed has missed the boat over and over again. They have an arrogance that says that they can set interest rates and they know what's best for the economy. But now we have seen the GDP forecast out of the Fed for the year 2013, the current year, has had to be revised 8 or 9 times in the last 29 months. They have missed the boat over and over and over again. They're manifestly inept at this business.
Yeah, and it can be just because it's impossible to make these predictions. They are designed to give reassurance. They don't want to frighten the market. And then they sort of secretly hope and pray that eventually something good will come of it and the economy will deliberately grow. I think it's a little bit of everything. They're inept at making predictions. They can't do it. Matter of fact, the GDP is a lousy number to really follow because it's so easy to manipulate it. You know, if you buy cruise missiles and if you buy drones, it pumps up the GDP and increases the debt and decreases the wealth of the country. So even the GDP, if they tell you it's growing for 4 or 5%, you can't be sure that this is going to solve the problem of the inequities in the market. But this is the numbers that we get, whether it's from the Fed or the Bureau of Labor and Statistics or Treasury, whatever, unemployment statistics, everybody should be cautious about believing that. Now, the Wall Street, I don't know whether they have to believe it, but a good person who's trading on Wall Street knows how the general people might respond to a good number, which they know is a lie. And, you know, just sort of like the other day when the stock market soared, when everybody knew that they weren't going to start tapering. Well, you know, I argued that that was bad news. That meant the Fed was very concerned and that the economy was much weaker than they pretend it is. And yet the markets went up. But long term, you know, it's a big problem. Another example of that was in 1971 when they closed the gold window, raised tariffs by 10%, put on wage and price controls, did everything wrong, and the stock market soared in one day more than it ever had before up to that time. But the rest of the 1970s proved that positive reaction was wrong. And that's why these figures should be looked at cautiously. If you're a short-term trader, that's one thing. But if you're looking for stability and looking to understand the economy, you have to look at something other than those false statistics they give us.
Dr. Paul, thank you for another great conversation, another podcast. Ron Paul, the Weekly Podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.